Do you ever feel like you're always on? Your phone is blowing up with notifications, you have commitments to friends and family, and not to mention work. Sometimes you just need a moment to turn off and hit reset. That's when you reach for Coors Light. It's made to chill. It's a crisp and refreshing beer that even tells you it's cold when the mountains on the bottles and cans turn blue. When I need to hit reset, I grab a Coors Light. Get Coors Light delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart by going to CoorsLight.com/BlueWire. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
Hello, Marlins fans, and welcome to a very special episode of what I'm just going to call Swings and Alvarez's. It's Swings and Mishes with Danny Alvarez today instead of Craig Mish. I'm your co-host and producer, Jeremy Taché. And Danny, normally you're over with Swings and Mishes en Español, but today we wanted to have you here with the mothership. I guess what I'll refer to as the original OG program of Swings and Mishes. But Danny, first of all, we're recording this, guys. I'm sorry, there's been an hours long gap between when we've recorded and when you're listening to this. We're recording this right after the game on Thursday afternoon. So Danny, how are you doing? Still sitting at Lone Depot Park?
Exactly. What I'm just seeing now is the entire baseball field, which is great. And yeah, I'm happy to be here, Jeremy. Thank you for having me. It's always a pleasure and an honor to be here on the English side. Of course, Oscar now being in Venezuela for a couple of weeks, and Craig having the week off. Someone has to step up, just the way some Marlins players have been doing all year long, right?
Yeah, I guess that's a good theme here to have this happening right after the trade deadline, right? Some new faces on the podcast too. But having Danny around, for those of you who don't follow Danny, he does incredible work. And I'll let him promote all of that on the back end with El Extra Base and, you know, everything that he does with us as well. But we're going to talk about what the Marlins did on the field this week before we get to some of your thoughts on what they've done organizationally this month. The Marlins did get swept by the New York Yankees, but now just completed a series win over the first place New York Mets here in Miami. They won 3 out of 4 games. And for those of you who don't know, they were led by James Rousen because Don Mattingly did test positive for COVID-19. We are sending our best to Donnie Baseball, who, you know, we hope to see back at Lone Depot Park sometime soon. But with James Rousen at the helm, the Marlins played the Mets this week. And Danny, what were your thoughts on everything that went down on the field for the Marlins?
Yeah, for sure, Jeremy. It was an interesting series, right? Especially by facing the first place New York Mets. I don't know if by the end of this podcast or whenever you guys are listening to it, this podcast, they're going to be alone at that position because the Phillies are winning right now at the time we're recording, and they're just one game behind.
Crazy.
So it's crazy, you know, to see how the NL East is shaping up. I think we never thought that the Mets and the Phillies were going to be fighting at this point of the year. Like everyone was pointing at the Braves as, you know, the top dog in this division, and now we see everything that is going through. But for the Marlins, it was important to win 3 out of 4 with guys like Brinson and Alfaro stepping up big time. Brinson, we saw at the first game of the series, hitting that important grand slam with the Luzardo game, or the 9-5-4 game, as we should call it, yes. Broward County. And today, Brinson coming up big again. Same with Alfaro. Guys that are just making their best out of those opportunities, right? And it's been especially an interesting week for Jorge, moving from catcher to left field, although he did play catcher today. But it's been really interesting. And of course, we had the opportunity to see James Rousen as the manager for these last couple of games. We asked him, like, hey, do you envision this maybe as a future for you, you know, being a manager? And of course, he was interviewed by teams last year or before 2021. And we said, hey, this might be happening soon because he's a brilliant guy, a great baseball mind. And I liked what I saw from J-Row this past week because, again, he's really good. The communication that he has with the players is extremely important. and great as well. I mean, you ask Miguel or you ask Jesus Aguilar, or talking to, for example, Francisco Cervelli, who retired last year, but it, for example, he loves James Rosen. You can tell that he has big potential, you know, to be a manager. I don't know if next year or somewhere else, but for sure in the near-term future, he's going to be a manager.
Right. Well, and you know what it is about James Rosen that I think I like specifically for a young squad like this, and what they were, this specific moment where they were about to possibly go through some lumps, is he's relentlessly positive. Like it's infectious. And so I can understand, as guys who are playing on a team that was struggling, or at any point, if you're a young player who's just trying to develop, I can understand how working with a guy like James Rosen could help you. And so in turn, you brought up Lewis Brinson and Jorge Alfaro, who both really thrived this week for the Marlins. They both played, ironically, like at a time where the Marlins just made moves to essentially not give up on them. But by acquiring Alex Jackson and Brian De La Cruz, you're signaling it's time to move on from some of the guys that we've played. And now all of a sudden, those two guys have what might have been their hottest weeks in Marlins uniforms, right? And in the final game, coming through with RBIs in the 3 and the 4 hole for the Miami Marlins in the 8th inning. And, you know, something, Danny, you and I have spoken about, you know, off this podcast, on this podcast, but those two guys, we've watched them since the day we showed up to cover this team, you in 2017, me in 2018, they've both been here. And those two guys work extremely hard. Yep. So yes, they have failed countless times. Okay. Yep. Like they would not deny that. There is no denying it. Neither of them has been what the Marlins hoped they would be at any point in their careers so far. But to see them thrive in the way that we know that they've worked, in the guys that they've been toward the media, despite our constant criticism, right? We've all, fan base and media alike, have criticized Lewis Brinson more than anyone I can remember in a long time in a Marlins uniform, specifically because of how and why and when he was acquired. And so to see those two guys, you know, in conjunction with James Rosen, right, maintain that positivity, work their butts off, and get a chance to thrive here at the major league level, even if it's just for a week, right? Even if it's just for a week. It's been a feel-good moment for me in this Marlins season to see that, like the 9-5-4 game that you mentioned. That's one of the five best Marlins games of this entire season. Like, it will be that. And it was special to get to see that moment from those two guys.
Yeah, for sure. It could be 100%. The thing with them, and you nailed that part, it's that they've been working so hard, and they've been good with the media, like talking every time they've failed. Mm-hmm. And when we need an explanation, they step up, they talk to us in a very sincere way. And that's mm-hmm. really important as well, because it's easy to go and talk to the media or the fans or the players or everyone in the organization or that it's around the team when you're winning and when you are doing great, right? But when you're having these type of moments, it's even tougher. And I had the chance to talk to Alfaro personally one-on-one this week, not like an interview, but just a conversation, like a small sure. conversation. And of course I noticed that he's not, I mean, this is not what he wants to do. Of course he's a catcher. And today after the game in the presser, Jorge Ebro asked him like, hey, do you feel like a catcher? I mean, are you still a catcher, or like, do you feel good as a left fielder? How do you envision yourself? He's like, no, I'm 100% catcher. And that's what he said. But sure. at the same time, he knows that he has to make the best out of it in left field, because it is a move that you never know how might help him in his career. But
absolutely,
let's remember, he's not 30 years old yet. He's still pretty young and mm-hmm. with incredible physical conditions. And that's maybe and that's why the Marlins are moving him to left field, to try to save something and make the best out of it. And I think that he's embracing it. He's going to do it until the end of the year or whenever he has that opportunity again, even if it's in 2022, 2023. I don't know if it's going to be here in Miami or not. But I like to see that. I like to see guys competing. And that's what J-Ro has been mentioning all season long. But now we have a good chance to hear him every day saying about talking about how they're going to compete.
Yeah, and one last note on that before we do move over to the moves that the Marlins made at the deadline. I just think that it's important for Marlins fans to, yes, there can be overall criticisms of roster management, recycling some of the same players, but on that same note, right, to see two guys in Lewis Brinson and Jorge Alfaro, who all they've done is show up and play when they're asked to play. Right. You can get mad at mistakes. You can get mad at struggling. But all they've done for the last few years is show up when they're supposed to show up and play hard when they do. And that hasn't always led to success. And I'm not sitting here trying to say that this week turns either of them into pieces that will maintain with the Marlins forever. Do I think Lewis Brinson is a quality enough backup major league outfielder? Personally, I am. But regardless of what their careers are, all I'm trying to emphasize here from a positive perspective is when you look at those two men themselves, they're not the ones who choose when they play. And so when they do, and when they've been in a Marlins uniform, they've done nothing but play pretty hard. And we've criticized them a lot. And to see them bounce back and play well here in this week has been a cool moment. But at this point, we've heard enough about those two guys. Let's move to three new additions that the Marlins have added to this roster, and they added them across the week of the trade deadline. It's Jesus Luzardo, who was traded from Oakland in the Starling Marte trade, Brian De La Cruz, who was traded from Houston, the outfielder for right-handed pitcher Yimi Garcia, and then, of course, Alex Jackson. It was the one-for-one swap. He's the catcher from Atlanta. The Marlins traded Adam Duvall. Those are the three guys I want to focus on here, as we've already seen them with the big league club. But, Daniel, I want your reaction to those trades more in the moment. We'll get to how they've played on the field so far already, but what did you think of the Marlins' overall trade deadline as it went along?
I think they were good, especially because of the Luzardo trade. And I'm very, very excited about that trade because every time you give up a good player like Starling Marte and possibly a star on Starling, you have to receive a good player. And of course, there's been some history with the Marlins trades in the last couple of years that have not been that good. Especially at the beginning. Of course, you can make a case with Jazz's trade with Zach Gallen, but this one with Luzardo for me was very nice, because every time you can get a pitcher, young pitcher like him, with that stuff and talent, being only 23 and with 5 years of control, that's incredible, especially in the way the Marlins organization is working now with their pitchers. We know about Sandy and Pablo and Eliezer and Sixto and Trevor, and of course, Meyer, Eder, Kyle Nicholas, McKembley, etc. Now you add Luzardo, you add more pitching depth, which is something that you need to have all the time. There's never enough pitching, as Michael Hill always
says. Yeah,
shout out to Mikey. I mean, yeah. I saw him in Denver for the All-Star break. It was amazing.
Nice.
Yeah, but when you add a guy like him, you gotta feel pretty excited, especially because he's from South Florida. He has that connection with the team. He grew up being a Marlins fan, and he was pretty excited about that. And I think it's always important when you have those type of players who are not only emotionally connected to the team, but when they're talented and when they can show up that they're talented. I know Luzardo has been going through a lot of things this year with Oakland, and it was a tough beginning of the year for him, going with the injury and then having bad outings and not being consistent as a starter or as a reliever. I think he's gonna be the Marlins are a good fit for him, because they're maybe they will know how to work with him and what to fix, and you know, to help him to be in that right path, you know, to be a successful pitcher. I mean, he's still 23, and with 5 years of control, that's amazing for me.
No, and like you mentioned, I mean, he's essentially a child in terms of his MLB experience. And you're right. You know, I think the A's almost tried to use Jesus Luzardo like the Rays did with David Price back in the day, where they called him up and he was the star and it was, all right, we're going to use him as a closer during this playoff run. And then he's going to be a starter and then he's going to be a reliever.
Yeah.
And that worked out fine for them.
Yeah.
But that doesn't always work for young players as they come up and develop. And so for Jesus to have an opportunity here where there's no immediate specific expectation of anything other than continue to work hard and continue to develop. And this is not to be a criticism, but, you know, marketing him as the hometown kid is not the same thing as like when the Marlins were marketing like Peter O'Brien as the hometown kid or even Lewis Brinson as the
exactly. I was going to mention
this is different. Like Jesus and Lewis was a top prospect. It was a different, you know, yeah. it was a different just conversation at the time. It's yeah. But this is Jesus Luzardo has been considered at times in his sort of amateur status as a elite prospect. And there's not a lot of opportunities to bring in players with that sort of ceiling. And you saw that the Marlins, and we'd mentioned this on the last episode, that the Marlins clearly wanted Luzardo specifically because they paid the rest of that Marte deal in order to get Jesus Luzardo. He's a specific acquisition, and it wasn't just a, all right, get us the best we can for Marte and get off the money. That wasn't it.
No.
It was acquiring a player for the future.
Which is the opposite to the Duval trade.
Yep.
By trading him, and I asked Kimag about this, like, hey, the challenge of trading a player to the same division, because it's always risky. Yeah, Duval has an option for next year, and you don't know if he's gonna pick up that option. But he feels good in Atlanta. Mm-hmm. The Braves, apparently, they feel good with him, and they can say, hey, let's talk about next year, and maybe we can offer you an extension. And then, boom, Duval is gonna be here for the next 2 to 3 years. So you never know. And that's always a challenge. I think Duval did great here. Mm-hmm. I know Craig mentioned that he was not getting, or it wasn't likely to be
it
traded.
Wasn't likely.
And of course they were not trading with Atlanta, but they ended up.
You're right.
But yeah, I think Alex Jackson, he's a good player. Mm-hmm. Good defensive catcher. Hearing from the Braves what they think about him and the way he can call the game and guide the pitchers, that's good. And that maybe his strongest part of his game. Hitting is the only concern I have with Jackson, especially hitting in the big leagues, because he crushed the ball in the minors. But now the big leagues are a whole different animal, and that's going to be the big challenge for him.
Shopify is the all-in-one commerce platform to start, run, and grow your business. And I love it because Shopify gives entrepreneurs the resources that were once reserved for big businesses. So upstarts, startups, and established businesses alike can sell everywhere, synchronize online and in-person sales, and effortlessly stay informed. I don't talk about it a ton, but I have a fishing company. 5 years ago this month, my best friend Aaron and I started a bass fishing weight company called Woo Tungsten, because woo is the sound you make when you catch a giant bass. So we sell tungsten weights for bass fishing, and Shopify has made it so incredibly easy. They have all the tools and the resources that we need. No matter how big or small your business is, they just make it so effortless. And like mine, Shopify powers over 1.7 million businesses from first sale to full scale. And you can reach customers online and across social networks with their ever-growing suite of channel integrations and apps, including Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, Pinterest, and more. And you can gain insights as you grow with detailed reporting of conversion rates, profit margins, and beyond, which is something we use a ton. More than just a store, Shopify grows with you. Go to shopify.com/BlueWire, all lowercase, for a free 14-day trial and get access to Shopify's entire suite of features. Grow your business today with Shopify. Go to shopify.com/BlueWire right now. You'll see exactly what I'm talking about. Shopify.com/BlueWire.
Get on Team Shaq with WinBet. We're playing parlays, boosting odds, and laying the wildest prop bets. Don't miss another game. Download the WynnBET sports betting app today.
Sign up today and win $200 in free bets when you place a $10 first-time wager on a straight bet or parlay. Offer subject to change. Terms and conditions at WynnBET.com. Must be 21 or older and present in the state where playthrough WynnBET is available. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700.
All right, Swings and Mishes fans, we actually wanted to take a second this week to talk to the CEO and founder of Ticket Rev, our new title sponsor here at Swings and Mishes, Jason Schatzky. So Jason, why don't you take just a second to let the folks listening know what Ticket Rev is all about?
Yeah, absolutely, Jeremy, and thank you so much for having me. First and foremost, I'm a Marlins fan, just like your audience. Have been living up in Palm Beach County, that's where I grew up. And so the idea for Ticket Rev came from being a Miami sports fan and a Marlins fan. And so essentially, our mission with Ticket Rev is to make it easier to both buy and resell tickets to your favorite live events. The way it works is we're actually the first reverse marketplace. So buyers create bids on events, enabling sellers to find a matching bid and accept and sell that ticket instantly. So we've launched down here in Miami, focused on Marlins, among other events in the South and Central Florida region, and hope to earn the business and the trust of Marlins fans.
I personally think what you're doing is great. We've already had a couple of Swings and Mishes listeners reach out to us and let us know that they enjoyed the process of working with you and working with Ticket Rev. But how specifically can our listeners here on Swings and Mishes benefit from using your site?
Yeah, absolutely. So I'll break it down individually for both sellers and then for buyers.
Perfect.
So for sellers, if you're a Marlins season ticket holder, or you have tickets for a game you can't go, if you maybe you cashed in your season ticket vouchers, want to get rid of them, you can come on Ticket Rev. You can view the available bids. And when you find one that matches the section in the row of your ticket, you can accept that bid instantly. If you've ever attempted to list on StubHub or post it on Facebook or your Instagram story or Twitter, and you just can't find a buyer, I know how much that frustration builds up. TicketRev.com, find the event, find a matching bid, accept it, and transfer your tickets. There's no waiting, there's no listing, there's no determining the price, there's no competition. It's so easy and it's so quick. On the other hand, for buyers, I'll give you an example. Jeremy, you and I want to go to a Marlins game next week. We create a bid for two tickets anywhere in sections 8, 9, and 10 in those letter rows A through J. We put an offer up for $50 each ticket. Now a seller with tickets in that location can come and sell them instantly. So there's more flexibility and more power for the buyers. And sellers have that instant sale capability. And we're finding really successful transactions happen and just creating an experience and a product that's meaningful for everyone.
Well, and Swings and Mishes listeners, you guys can use the promo code SWINGS on Ticket Rev for $10 off your first purchase as a buyer. And I know Jason and I are working together here to create something special for sellers as well. Jason, anything here right at the end you just want to get in a couple sentences, wrapping things up for our listeners?
Yeah, even better. The promo code SWINGS actually gets you $20 off your first.
Well, look at that.
Yeah, I mean, the one thing I'll add is that we're a local startup, we're a new company. And like I mentioned earlier in the podcast, we just want to earn your business and your trust and your support. You can DM us on Instagram at Ticket Rev, that's Ticket REV. You can find me on Twitter personally at J Schatzky, J-S-H-A-T-S-K-Y, or at Ticket Rev. And if you have any questions or need help or want to work with us, just send us a note, send me a note. We're rewarding our frequent sellers and actually lowering their commission. So if you want to try selling with us, we charge an 8.5% commission, but as your sales volume increases, we'll continue to lower that for you. So we're super excited to be here and hope to work with everyone soon.
All right. So use that promo code SWINGS for $20 off. Swings and Mishes fans, Jason, thanks again for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, I mean, Jackson struggled pretty mightily in his brief time at the major league level with the Braves. Although, you know, he's looked okay in his couple of games at the plate with the Marlins, has extra base hits in both of them, I believe, with the homer and the double. But that is the big thing that I noticed with Jackson, too, though, is he's real calm behind the plate. And that can change things for a pitcher. And this is, again, of no offense to Jorge Alfaro, but when you struggle defensively the way that Jorge has throughout this season in particular with pass balls and things of the like, it can affect your pitchers and their own confidence in throwing their pitches and executing. And so when you have a catcher back there who exudes a level of confidence, but also that sense of calm, it does translate to your pitchers feeling more comfortable executing throughout their game. And we've seen the differences in ERA amongst the staff when Sandy Leon was back there versus Alfaro. And so now to find a younger defensive strength in Alex Jackson, a guy who, mind you, when drafted, was not supposed to be a good defender. So has worked to become that. And so it's interesting, and you can continue to follow up on Jackson here, but the thing that I found most interesting, and I mentioned this last week as well, was that both Jackson and Brian De La Cruz were guys who were thriving at the AAA level, performing at the AAA level. And the Marlins said, all right, we'll give you your 2-month shot here to do it at the big league level and earn a spot. And so those two trades I found interesting from that perspective. What was your thought process when you saw guys like Jackson and De La Cruz who were thriving at the AAA level?
Yeah, 100%. They want to give them those opportunities because they see the tools that they have, especially with Jackson being a young catcher and knowing how difficult it is to find a good catcher right now in the big leagues. Because what are you expecting when you're getting a catcher? Because, of course, with Alfaro, when you trade a guy like JT, the expectations are high because you traded maybe the best catcher in the game.
Right.
But after Real Muto, who are the catchers that you have? You say, okay, this guy's a star. Salvador Perez, and that's the end of the list.
And Buster Posey, who's old.
Posey's old. He's old and good for him. He didn't play in 2020, and now we're seeing that
really
that
amazing.
It's unbelievable.
One of the coolest stories in baseball. Yeah,
exactly. But he's been dealing with injuries in the last couple of years, so the situation with Buster is a whole. It's completely different. So of course the expectations might be high on Jackson, especially again when you trade a guy like Duval to the same division. I mean, the return has to be really good for you. But again, they have the tools, and same with De La Cruz. De La Cruz spent maybe 7-8 years or maybe a whole decade in the minors. And now he's getting that chance to play here on a daily basis. The way he adapted to that right field.
Incredible.
At Home Depot Park, it's incredible. And I asked J-Ro about this. Like, hey, what does that tell you about a player when he's able to adapt that quick to that position in a new ballpark and in the big leagues because he's making his major league debut?
Right.
And he said, well, that tells you about the tools that he have, his athleticism and how mature he is. And he's been able to do that. And those are tough shoes to fill because Adam Duvall has been incredible in right field this year. He might win the Gold Glove in right field at the end of the year. I mean, we don't know, but he's been having that great season. And De La Cruz has been good overall, taking good routes, doing the tough plays at the warning track against the wall, making the throws to home plate or to the bases, showing a good arm, showing good speed, good bat speed as well. And I really like what I see from De La Cruz. We talked to him maybe a couple times during this whole week.
So
positive, but so confident.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't lack any confidence, but he's not
But he's also not cocky.
Or cocky.
Yeah, not at all.
Exactly. Uh-huh. He's just confident on what he can do. And when you go to your first presser and you say, I'm going to be the next Starling Marte, dude, you have a lot of confidence. And by the way, his middle name is Starling. So that's incredible.
What?
You didn't know about that?
Okay, we didn't lead the podcast with this?
I don't know. I don't know why. But
if you guys could see my face. If you could see my face.
It's unbelievable. But Brian De La Cruz's name is Brian Starling De La Cruz. I'm not kidding. Look it up.
I'm only talking because we can't leave too much dead air on this podcast, but my brain is moving 1,000 miles a minute at what you just told me. No, because the irony, but the type of player Brian De La Cruz is that sort of, I can just do a lot of things on a baseball field type of player. And that's the same type of guy that Starling was for the Marlins. That's not to say that Brian De La Cruz is Starling Marte.
Of course not.
In even a second. I'm not making that comparison. Please don't aggregate me and turn it into that. What I'm saying is it's cool to see another player out here for the Marlins playing with that level of confidence, who is doing a little bit of everything in his first week in a Marlins uniform. He's been tremendous defensively, not only in terms of his range athletically, but with a rocket arm in right field. I mean, we saw him the other day stop what would have been ordinarily a sacrifice fly on most right fielders, would have been a run scored. And instead, there was not even an attempt to score on Brian De La Cruz. And he's hit the ball to all fields, which for so many of the Marlins prospects who have come up over the last 5 years, when we talk about sort of the new era, the new regime, and all the guys who have come up, I mean, you could list on a hand, on one hand, the amount of guys who have looked as comfortable in the box immediately at the major league level. It's Jesus Sanchez, it's Jazz Chisholm, and it's Brian De La Cruz. That's it. Of all the minor leaguers who have come up and immediately looked pretty good. Jesus obviously struggled, and so did Jazz in 2020, but I don't really count 2020 as a real time for prospects. No. For guys who have come up and looked comfortable. And so the big thing on both of those trades, and Danny, I know you have one more point here, but the big thing on both of those trades, and I emphasized it last week, I emphasized it on one of my episodes of Breakfast at Jeremy's, I'm going to keep emphasizing it. Depth within the organization of players who can play Major League Baseball. And the thing that frustrated so many Marlins fans at the early points of the season is whether guys were out with COVID issues or whether guys were out with injuries. When starters went down, there was no one of quality to replace them. There was no one who was ready to step in and at least be half of the player that starter was. And so as you acquire guys like Brian De La Cruz and Alex Jackson, are either of them going to be starters or superstars for the Marlins? Probably not. Probably not. But could Alex Jackson and Brian De La Cruz end up being a backup catcher and a fourth outfielder on a pretty good team? Maybe.
And that's what you want to see in these last couple of months.
Exactly.
At the same time, I mean, with that said, we have to be careful because we know August and especially September are maybe
September more so. Yeah.
September more so are the toughest months to evaluate players and especially prospects. It's important for them to show what they're showing, or at least what they showed during this last week. But again, consistency, it's really important, and that's what I want to see. I know that they have the depth and they have the farm system, which is one of the best in baseball. But you have to support that by showing results here in the big leagues. I mean, there's nothing you can do with a top three, top four, top five farm system if they don't perform well in the big leagues. And I know they're confident on what they have in the system, especially with the pitchers and some hitters as well, but they gotta show it up and let's see what these last 2 months are gonna bring.
And it's such a fascinating time to sort of analyze the Marlins organization as a whole, right? Because these final 2 months are so much about evaluation. We all know it. And it's this really interesting thing where you don't often see a franchise in Major League Baseball where you're sitting and waiting on them to make the blockbuster trade, right? Like you don't normally have that, but because of the specific position the Marlins are in, where it's just this massive overabundance of pitching and not a lot of young hitting prospects who you think are going to come up and compete sometime soon, where you see the window sort of starting next year, in order for that to happen, it takes a bit of a blockbuster trade to acquire more bats. And so it's so weird because when we do that, it's normally, you know, we're talking about that with the Miami Heat, not with the Miami Marlins. Waiting on the blockbuster trade from a basketball team, not from a baseball franchise. And it puts such a weird emphasis on these final couple of months and what we see from all of these players throughout the organization. That's talking at the major league level all the way down through single and double A, where you have some of those top prospects starting to develop. So it's a really interesting time to sort of be monitoring Marlins baseball. And obviously we'll continue to do that here on Swings. But Danny, before we wrap this thing up, we've talked about what the Marlins did on the field this week. We've talked about the players they've acquired. We obviously touched on these prospects and, you know, We didn't even mention that Jesus Luzardo's first start in a Marlins uniform was pretty electric. I'm not going to lie. It was pretty fun to watch the kid pitch and to see him at Lone Depot Park. But do you have any sort of final thoughts? Because I know, obviously, being on this version of Swings and Misses, you can get some of those takes out there, get some of those thoughts out there that might not get to the same general audience. So is there anything that you've been thinking about the Marlins that you want to sort of note as we do go into these final couple of months?
Yeah, well, with Luzardo, he's just going to get better because, again, he's so talented, young, and he's going to feel pretty good here having friends and family. He mentioned in that presser after the game, I had like 100 friends.
So cool, dude.
People that I know here at the ballpark.
Probably and the also, same 100 people that watched him beat me in high school.
Probably, yeah, 100% right. 100%.
It's probably all the same people.
Yeah, they should have promoted that better because he knew on Friday that he was coming up to pitch, and then they announced that like 4 hours.
It was interesting to me. Yeah,
4 hours before the game on Monday. I know that you gotta make moves,
take the pressure off, maybe.
Maybe take the pressure off, not creating a lot of expectation.
Right.
But now, you know, you got to promote that.
Every single start.
Every single start, because that's the way you start making a connection with the fan base. And of course, the Marlins need that more than any other thing. Shout out to Mickey Rowe for winning the Heart and Hustle Award once again. Very well deserved. I can't think about any other player in this organization, you know, to win that award. It's going to be interesting for him to see what's going to happen in these last couple weeks, because if he gets to those 500 plate appearances, he has a vesting option and he's going to automatically be renewed for 2022. They didn't trade him, so he's right now the front runner for that position in 2022, and he deserves it 100%. It's going to be interesting though what's going to happen with Jesus Aguilar and then maybe negotiations with him for a contract extension, or what's going to happen in November when they have to tender him a contract, because remember he's facing his last year of arbitration, and I will definitely pay attention to that in the next couple of weeks, because something might happen. We don't know yet exactly, but something can happen with Jesus Aguilar. So basically that's all I got for you guys today. And again, pretty excited to do this.
Well, Danny, why don't you give everybody your social media handles and tell them where they can find all of your work? Seriously, not just your Swings and Misses stuff. Give everybody the lowdown.
For sure. Twitter handle, Daniel Alvarez EE, and that EE stands for El Extra Base, which is the outlet I own. I created years ago, and of course, we're dedicating a lot of work, not only with the Marlins, but with baseball in general, and especially Latin players. Right now, we are basically focusing on Miguel Cabrera more than any other thing.
Because as you Mickey's, should be.
As we should be, because Miggy's two homers away from 500. It's pretty exciting what we're doing. I invite you all guys to follow us. And of course, it's in Spanish, but I think it's worth it. I mean, you can hit the translate.
It's great. I'm gonna go ahead and just do this here. It's great, great, great content. I follow them. I follow Danny, and this is not just me saying this as a friend of Danny, which I am, and I love Danny, but I really, truly believe Danny is one of the best in this business and is going to take over baseball journalism as we continue to go over the next few years. Danny, I'm so excited about everything you're doing. It's an honor to get to work with you here. And nice. Marlins fans, I hope you enjoyed this episode of Swings and Misses. You know what? You'll probably hear from Danny sometime down the stretch of these last couple months, and maybe we'll check in. But hey, be sure to follow him on Twitter, as he said, at Daniel Alvarez EE. Go ahead and follow me on Twitter at Jeremy Taché. You already follow Craig, so I'm not even going to bother with it. But be sure to follow at Swings and Misses as well. And Marlins fans, we'll be back with another episode next week. Hope you enjoy the Marlins on the road this weekend.
Yeah, it's the price of a negotiator, and I'm here because I'm tired. you getting less. Less sunshine, less fun, less bang for your buck. It's time for more. That's why I'm getting you up to 60% off your favorite hotels, along with exclusive deals on rental cars and flights. Because when you save more, you can do more. More sunshine, more fun, a lot more for your dollar. Every trip is a big deal. So visit Priceline.com to get more out of your next trip.